This morning I will be reading the first two verses before our printed text and also one verse after. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. These are our words. Unto you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The portion of this text which gets the most attention is the part that's printed in the worship folder. Always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Now, since the word defense in Greek is apologeomai, that defense is called apologetics. It doesn't mean that one is apologizing or saying, I'm sorry I did it, but rather it is, strictly speaking, a defense. And that is very important for Christians to keep in mind in this age of skepticism, when the Christian faith is being belittled and ridiculed in every part of the world. And so we have read what we've read these words this morning, and it is an important thing that we keep in mind what we are called to do in this life. Now, the context of these words, however, is very important, and it says quite a bit about the meaning of the text itself, the words which were printed. Peter is writing to Christians in his time, and even as Peter is writing these words, Christians are being persecuted, that is, they're being put to death, they're being horribly mistreated, and they're also being ridiculed, which is a part of persecution. They're being ridiculed for their faith. So he says, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. Now, for righteousness' sake doesn't refer specifically to the good works of the Christians, although that might be included, but rather it is aimed at the righteousness for which they are, or the righteousness for which they're ridiculed is the righteousness which they believe, that is, the righteousness of Christ, by which we are justified. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, St. Paul writes, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's the beginning of the printed text. Sanctify means to make holy. And so does that mean that in this process there is something that we do to make God holy? Well, we don't have to think about that very long. No way. It means rather the same thing that we say in the Lord's Prayer when we pray, hallowed be thy name. Remember how Martin Luther in the Catechism explains those words. He says, God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be holy among us also. And then he goes on to tell us how this is done. God's name is hallowed when his word is taught in its truth and purity, and we as children of God live holy lives according to it. And so when Peter speaks of sanctifying the Lord, he means the same thing that our Lord taught us when he taught us to pray, hallowed be thy name. And so it's at this point that the Christian is called to give a defense, that is, an apologia of the faith. Now, that doesn't mean that we go directly to our reason, immediately to our reason, in order to validate or to make certain the faith that we have. Rather, it means that we will give an account of the hope that we have. That is what we are to testify to, that God himself, in the person of his Son, became man, took to himself human flesh, that he became sin in our place, that he carried all of our suffering for our sinfulness, that, as St. Paul writes, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And that, he promises us, thereby is eternal life with him in heaven, not because of our own good works, but because of Jesus' own righteousness for us in our place. How can one defend that? How can the Christian give an apologia for this gospel? I can't prove it to anyone by the use of human reason. I cannot prove it by the accumulated wisdom of my study of philosophy and logic, or of biology, or sociology, or anything else, because it all surpasses, it goes above and beyond all human understanding. Reason itself can only drag the gospel down. Man's corrupted reason can only draw the gospel down to the foolish simplicity and stupidity of human speculation. But yet we are called to give an account of our faith. And what is it? What do we believe? And how do we know it? We've already said what it is that we believe. But how do we know it? Because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has proclaimed it. It is the very word of God, as St. Paul writes, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. So where then does our reason, our understanding, our thinking, our philosophy come into all of this? We've learned to confess with Luther in the Catechism, the explanation of the third article, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel. And so, in giving an account of our faith, we can only point to God's word, the word of the gospel, by which he brings us to faith and sustains us in that faith. As Luther continues, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. Now I'd like to let Martin Luther speak the second to the last word here, something he says in a commentary on this very text. In persecution, you must have hope and wait for eternal life. And when you are asked why you have this hope, you must have God's word on which to be able to build. And then we let St. Paul, our Lord's apostle, have the last word. In the face of persecution and ridicule, what is our defense? He says, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Let it be so among us for Jesus' sake. Amen. We join in the Lord's Prayer. Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.